This KFKA podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. There's only one Colorado and one community like Greeley, the place we've called home for years. Family-owned, community-focused banking, Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.
Hi, this is Brock Wisney, former UNC men's basketball player, and you're listening to The Whole Show on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Minutes after the 1 o'clock hour, joining me now, Rams insider for CSURams.com, Mike Brohard. Mike, my man, what a fun weekend it was for Colorado State.
Did you have fun?
I did. You asked me if I had fun, and I really appreciate that. Meant a lot to me, and I did. I had a fun time. That was good.
We're all about trying to make sure that everybody's having fun.
No, I had a great time. I chased Kevin down to the field, and Kevin, I got to say, man, his endurance, he is fast. He was like lightning running down on the field. He's done that a few times. So I was out of breath, but that was a good time.
He's quicker than you think.
He really is. Yeah, he was moving fast. But what a time down there, Mike. One of the things that stood out to me, like Haas Haney, just a celebrity instantly. Fans were lining up to take pictures with this dude. One guy's standing right next to me, younger kid, and he's like, "Oh man, I'm sorry, are you in line for pictures?" And I was like, "Well, not now, but I will be soon." But it was just kind of a special moment to see fans come together and just surround that quarterback.
Yeah, it was a heck of a debut, wasn't it? So the last time we had a quarterback throw for 5 touchdowns in his debut, it was a loss to Hawaii at home. So it's kind of nice to see it in a win. The neat thing was, is it wasn't just the 5 touchdown passes. I thought for a kid that had only started one game before and didn't even get to see it all the way through because he got hurt, he was very composed, very deliberate in the offense, very much in command of everything that Price Tracy wanted to do with that offensive game plan. And I think that spoke volumes about that kid.
I think it did, too. I tell you, Coach Mora talked about this. Mike, I think you probably asked him the question when it was 14-13, you know, what he really liked from his team. You know, talking about Haas, but everybody on this team, just the way they were resilient. That was a scary moment because maybe in years past you're wondering, okay, is Wyoming about to take over some momentum here? But for Wyoming then to score, get to 35 points, essentially. It was cool to see them respond when Wyoming was kind of trying to knock on the door.
Yeah, so there's a fan I've known for a long time, since back in my reporter days. And he was like, "We've got 2 turnovers, and we're only up by 1 point." And I go, "Yeah, but you're up by 1 point." And that was the key moment, I thought. So, yeah, they get the touchdown, and then CSU's offense, if you remember correctly, goes 3 and out the next drive.
Yeah, yeah.
That's when Umar picks off his pass. Then it's 3 straight touchdowns. So that was a response that you needed to see from this team to find out, I mean, really, how fast is it growing? And it's grown up fairly quickly under Jim Mora, right? To where they didn't get flustered by the moment. They didn't start getting down. I know some fans were. But, you know, the next thing you know, that 1 point game, it's a comfortable 35-13 victory. And then you get a 4th turnover. I mean, the defense was phenomenal, right? I mean, you held that team to less than 300 yards of total offense, which doesn't happen a lot in today's game of college football. You created 4 turnovers, 3 of them interceptions. You did not allow a 3rd or a 4th down conversion. Those are impressive numbers.
What was the of those? What was the most? Because I tell you that. No third down conversions. That is crazy to me. What was the most impressive one of those stats you just mentioned for defense?
To me, that's great. I mean, this team last year, you go back, and it's not this team. You can't. I guess you can't say this team anymore because it's completely different. But if you go back to the year prior, there were struggles on third down, both offensively and defensively. You shut out a team on third down. That's awesome.
Yeah, that was such an impressive stat. And as you mentioned, too, it's not just the 5 touchdowns with Haas Haney, but just the way he ran this offense that, I mean, for Price Tracy, the movement on this offense is exciting to see. And, man, it makes it easy. Mike, you know, I love this. All the hot, nasty speed surrounding this quarterback. There's a lot of options, maybe not a go-to, and that might be a good thing, as Jim Mora kind of talked about. Like, we got a bunch of dudes that on any given weekend could light it up. But that's such a luxury when you have all that speed on the field.
The interesting thing to me about the receiver room is so you look at RJ Vick, he had 14 snaps he took all of last year against Wake Forest, and he comes out and has a game like he did. The rest of the receivers, I mean, the fan base here is pretty familiar with Tommy Maher, right?
Mm-hmm.
But outside of him, you don't have anybody that has the experience of being a number one. You don't have anybody on that receiving staff that has had a ton of reps. That's a group that really can grow throughout this season, and you just saw a touch of it. The interesting part to me offensively, and it wasn't uncommon. I went back and looked. There were three games last year where CSU had at least 10 guys catch a ball. But it also wasn't uncommon at UConn. But the thing that was different about UConn was that Skylar Bell, who had 101 catches, who was a Biletnikoff Award finalist, and they still did that. They had games where they had 12 different guys catch balls. They had three other games where they had 11, and that was in the 12 regular season games. So I think that ball distribution is something that CSU fans can get used to.
Well, and yeah, one of those guys that caught a pass was the quarterback, was Haas Haney in that first drive. Mike, you've talked to Coach and everybody about this now. What's going through everybody's brains there when Terrence Smith decides, you know what, I'm throwing it up anyway? It seemed like there was a couple of defenders in that area. Somehow, some way, even with pass interference, Haas Haney pulls it down.
Okay, so the best response was Haas himself admitting that's a lucky catch. Because, and it didn't seem like there were two defenders there. There were two defenders. And he got interfered with, right? That was clear. The guy had already thrown the flag. But, yeah, that was the second time, I think, in the game. That was the first time of two times that a Wyoming person had a ball in their hands, it popped out, and a CSU person caught it, right? Because it happened. That's how Diamandi got his interception.
Is that one of those cases on that play specifically on the Haas Haney catch? Is it where you're going, hey, Terrence Smith, next time don't throw that ball, but also, hey, it worked out?
Yeah. I think Terrence got the ball and was like, I'm throwing it no matter what. Yeah. And then in the motion of throwing, he was probably like, well, I didn't see both of those guys.
Yeah. No, it was crazy. And in that moment, there was just something that hit. And I know we got a long season ahead of us, Mike, and there's going to be plenty of these conversations. But in that moment, I looked at Haas Haney and was like, oh, he's not just a quarterback. He's a football player. It's like that line, remember the Titans. We got ourselves a football player. He was exciting to watch. Even he wasn't perfect, but even in some of those moments where he wasn't perfect, he's still exciting.
He's an athletic kid. That's what you're going to. He's an athlete. He can do a lot of things. They will not ask him to go, you know, play secondary, and they won't ask him to catch many passes, I don't think. But you will see him be able to extend plays and create things. The way that they can move him, as accurate as he is on the run and rolling out, is dynamic for an offense when you can have a quarterback who can do that.
Mike, I asked our friend, our mutual friend Kevin Lytle this, but I want to ask you. You know, I'm saying, hey, are we still like cautiously optimistic, or do we look at that 35-13 win? You were a 3-point favorite, and you win that way. Do we say, oh no, we're all in. New era arrived. It's go time. This Rams team is going to be a tough one to beat all year.
You still got to build though, right? I mean, it was an impressive victory, and it's a good victory. I know it's a CSU team that still thinks there's a lot of things that they left out on the field that they can do better. Another aspect to me about this week's game, I know they're playing Southern Utah, and they're an FCS team, and everybody thought, well, thank God, we do not have to play Air Force in that option attack. Nope, you've got to play Southern Utah in their option attack, and that's a team that rushed for 386 yards. You're going to see a different style of offense. You're going to see how mature this defense is coming together, right? There were a lot of new starters on the field for CSU. Offensively, I think it was 10 out of 11. Only Philip Okon was a returning starter. That entire line had not started a game together in mass. There's a lot of room for growth. So, yeah, I think you should be excited about what you saw because you are starting at a more elevated point at the beginning of the season. But, yeah, there's still places where you can see this team grow.
It was interesting, too, as you know, Mike, with the Boise State-Oregon game, very similar to what happened 2 years ago. Boise State loses a close game. That set the table for them the rest of the way to ultimately get into the playoffs. That just goes to show me, hey, now more than ever, I feel confident. And I know Jim Mora talked about this, like the path to the playoffs. We can get there through the Pac-12. Certainly seems like it's right there for the taking for at least one team. Certainly Boise State looks like the team to beat, but we know they're on the schedule down the road. Things could work out very interestingly for Colorado State.
They could work out very interesting for Colorado State. I mean, the Memphis-Boise State game is going to be important in who gets that like group of six nod. That will be your definite clear leader, whoever wins that game coming out. If it's Boise State, CSU eventually has a chance to knock them off, correct?
Mm-hmm. So. Yeah, it's going to be fun. Mike, I thought it was cool, too, at the end of the game in the media room post-game press conference, seeing, you know, Coach Mora, seeing his entire family just pour in. That was kind of surreal because we all know the celebrity side of the Mora family. It was just kind of a cool moment. And I know they were all pumped up, giving him an applause and the players an applause. That was fun to see.
It's different than most people ever see in a post-game press conference. But it was cool. It was a really cool moment for the Mora family. Jim never says it's about him, but you could tell it was special and emotional. It was his dad and his mom, and it was funny because like the press conference is over and I'm standing in the doorway with Jim's mom and I go, do you need back in? And she goes, no, I'm just waiting for my husband. And I go, well, I think there's about three or four people waiting to interview him. And she goes, why do people still want to talk to him? Well, it's kind of a neat story. If you were a columnist at that game, and a couple columnists I know went up there to do that, you know, to do that story, it's generational football. And then you look at the other part. I mean, Trey's on Jim's staff, right? So there was three generations of Moras coaching, you know?
Yeah, no, it was
cool. That's kind of a neat story.
Yeah, no question. How many times a day when he's in public do you think he hears somebody come up to him and say playoffs, Mike, realistically? That's got to get old.
I'm going to say a lot less than you think because, one, he didn't say it. It was his dad.
Well, that's who I was referencing.
Oh, you mean his
dad?
Yes,
yeah.
I don't know. I don't know how much.
Well, it happened in the elevator when I was in there, so I would imagine it happens all the time.
But was it somebody in his family?
No, it was a dude behind me, one of the pushing like a food cart kind of thing.
Yeah.
And he just said, wow, that's Coach Mora, playoffs, and Coach just kind of acted like he didn't hear him, but I was thinking, like, how many times does he hear that when he's in public?
And maybe that's the truth, is he never hears it because his brain just turned off that comment.
Yeah, you probably should.
I mean, everybody knows that clip, yeah.
Yeah. Mike, appreciate you as always, man. We'll look to catch up with you next week.
You have a lovely day, sir.
All right, you too. Mike Brohard, CSURams.com. Yeah, seriously, the guy behind me in the elevator, he's like a food guy. So he's waiting to get out at like the fourth floor or whatever. Coach walks in and Jim Mora's there and he's like, wow, that's Coach Mora. Playoffs. And he says it like in that way. And the family just kind of looked down. I don't know. I just thought it was like an awkward moment. They were fine about it. They didn't say anything negative. But he probably hears that all the time. Dude, that's a famous clip. That's one of the more famous clips in all of sports.
You know, people remember that. What they don't remember is him bringing the Saints back from mediocrity. Like, he made the Saints good. Didn't win a playoff game, but he made them good.
But they remember playoffs, Mike.
Yeah.
It's
unfortunate because, like, he gets, you know, that, but, like, he had a bunch of good teams.
He was pretty good, yeah, with New Orleans, you know, in the late 80s, early 90s, and then he had a couple of playoff runs with the Colts, but not overly successful there.
Was it two playoff runs with the Colts?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he lost to the Tennessee Titans in the AFC divisional round in 1999 and lost to the Dolphins in the AFC wildcard game in the year 2000.
So he has... actually, I don't think he has any wins because I think the Colts were first-round bye.
Did not win. Yeah, he went to the wild card a lot, lost them. But like you said, did bring the Saints up and certainly a good football family. And it was cool to see all the Moras stepping into the press room. That was cool. 35 minutes after the hour. Let's wrap up the weekend that was. How we feeling? I saw the Denver Post put this out. More impressive win. Was it CU's win over Georgia Tech or CSU's win over Wyoming? And we'll answer that on the other side. But first, let's get the latest on the local sports flash.
This KFKA podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. There's only one Colorado and one community like Greeley, the place we've called home for years. Family-owned, community-focused banking, Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.